And what I want to do is take some time with some of these other techniques so you really get a flavor of consistent biblical counseling. And you'll recognize that. We were talking with some people about how they've heard of some others being counseled different places. And this idea of homework sounds familiar. And it is distinctive with biblical counseling. So I'm glad we can take some time to do this together. And what I'd like to do is make sure that we don't miss some comments about really one of the key homework assignments that we use, which would be the conference table. We've talked about personal time with the Lord, right? Quiet time, personal prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Very, very important. You've seen a list of homework assignments, and I just put that on a piece of paper because as you conclude a session with somebody, it's just more convenient to circle the numbers and say, well, this, this, and this. Now, it is true you don't want to give too much homework. Too much of a good thing, right? You don't want to give too much because the person might be overwhelmed. So often two or three assignments are sufficient. Then they come back the next week. You see what kind of progress that you've made. So keep that in mind. Well, let's take a look at your packet then. And if you would turn beyond the Galatians scripture, beyond the PDI, and beyond the list of homework assignments, you'll see a page that's entitled Setting Up the Conference Table. And that's what I'd like to take a look at, because this is a necessary and crucial assignment that you want to be aware of as you're working with people. You've had a good session. Hopefully there's been progress, and you want to keep up this reconciliation back and forth. So the way to do that, you want to have practice at home as well. Now, artificially, you did it in the office. Remember, okay, what's the plank in your eye? Let's identify that. Let's ask for forgiveness. The other person gives forgiveness. That needs to go on a lot at home as well, because we're still two sinners together in a marriage, for instance, in terms of the marriage. Same with all the family. So we need to practice things at home. Now, what I'm going to say about the conference table really does apply to family devotions as well. And you do want to have family devotions. You do want to have that pattern, probably evening, reading something from Spurgeon, something from the Bible. How was your day? Talking to the kids, things like that. Those are all good things to do. With this is coming out of biblical marital counseling, and so it's the conference table. So I'm going to be assuming in this case it's husband and wife, but you can glean the principles from it and apply it to your whole family when you have family devotions. And once again, it's the idea of using the Bible in family life to be a bit more precise. And let's say there you are in family life and there's been some huge arguments, say among the kids, so to speak, and we just kind of let our anger simmer, like those levees in New Orleans. You know, they just kind of lose their pressure. No, we really should deal with it, so to speak, and say, well, now, what was the sin? Was there a sin? There may not have been a sin, but if there was a sin, then we are to ask for forgiveness from one another. And that's true even if there's punishment, be it corporal punishment or time out or losing privileges or whatever that might be. Still, there's that doing business with the Lord, doing business with one another to ask for forgiveness, and then making a decision to forgive and promising not to bring it up again. Now, the conference table has that attitude built into it. In fact, you'll see some guidance there on the sheet that says that if things get out of hand in the conference table, then the signal you agree on ahead of time is one, a person that notices it will stand up and things will just stop until people calm down. Okay. Now, why might this happen? Because family problems don't go away right away. It's not just like taking a pill. It takes weeks, months, maybe years to deal with some problems. And so it takes some time. So you may have problems as through the week, probably will. And what I'm suggesting is that when you have a disagreement, let's take between husband and wife, that you just try to not belabor it in the middle of the afternoon or just coming home from work or first thing in the morning. Wait till the conference table. And the conference table is going to be around 7:30, 8, 8:30 in the evening. And you're going to pray first. You're going to read this passage from Ephesians. And then see, you're in the right frame of mind to deal with things. Also, if it's about marriage, we have a wonderful book by Wayne Mack called Strengthening Your Marriage. And you can go through that chapter by chapter. Chapter one, number one, it talks about what marriage is essentially in the Bible. It's a covenant, like so many of these other things. It's a covenant, but it's a covenant of companionship. The number one purpose in God's world for marriage is companionship. Okay, now certainly there's be fruitful and multiply, you know, and there's other projects we do together as spouses. But companionship is the number one thing. Okay, so there's a nice little Bible study on that in the Mac book. And so for couples having problems together in their marriage, this is something to work on and see. Now, what does God say about marriage? What is it? And then it goes to the wife's responsibilities and roles and privileges, the husband's responsibilities, roles and privileges in subsequent chapters, you know, child raising and things like this. So we've started with prayer at, say, 7:30. Each person prays. Okay, then we go next to reading this passage in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 32. Wonderful principles there about getting along one another and moving things forward in the marriage. And then we're going to do some study. Okay, that study, now in the right frame of mind, is strengthening your marriage. You know, biblical study about marriage. And then you can bring up the problems of the day. Okay, because now you're about 30, 40 minutes into it, but you're in the right frame of mind. You've remembered that, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, there is the Bible. Yes, there is a God. And there is, you know, I ought to obey, and I can obey by His Holy Spirit and all of that. And so, and the same is true in a relationship with a biblical counselor. And for the pastors, the elders, the counselors who, first of all, here are doing this, and Lord willing, someday you'll have others trained and you have a lot of lay people, men and women, counseling. But the other idea is that it can't dominate your life as the counselor either. So you give a good heart, well, you do preparation for the hour together. You spend that hour together, you know, dealing with real issues and marching through the homework and things like that. But then the advice to the man and woman is that if you run into problems this week, please don't call me. Okay, please don't call me. Write them down. And then when we meet again next Tuesday evening at 7:30 for an hour, that's going to be part of the agenda, what you wrote down. So you see, this is very action-oriented, right? It's can-do, not man can-do, but God can-do. God can fix things. We can overcome evil with good, even in the worst situations when we're dealing with enemies, pressures on us, don't return evil for evil. Mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who rejoice, and overcome evil with good. Now, would the Apostle Paul put that in there in Romans 12? It's not possible. I hope not, and of course he would not. So it's a very realistic but optimistic approach, and this conference table is part of that. Okay, and you see how it's emanating out of the process that you've had there in the counseling hour together, you know, this whole idea of reconciling together. This whole idea of this is based on our relationship with the Lord and His Word. Okay, it's evangelical. This is a real relationship with a real God. And we're going to remember that at the conference table in, with prayer and by reading His Word. And then by doing some studies, biblical studies on what is marriage. And then by talking about the day. Okay, now we bring the facts of the day to this, or the facts of the week. And we try to help one another as spouses and not outgun one another, you know, as we're talking. If you have your Bibles available there, or Bibles in the pew racks, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to show you some more about how this works. There are other passages in the Bible that you could use. This does have the advantage of talking about putting off the old man, putting on the new. And it has a lot of directed comments from the Apostle Paul and to the people of Ephesians about how to get along with one another. And so that's why we have this passage. But just let me read through it with you and maybe make a few comments. This is the conference table. So you've prayed together, and now you're going to read this together. You might want to alternate verses back and forth, husband, wife, or one reads one section, another reads another section. But be prayerfully listening to this now. So imagine you're at a conference table at your home, okay, and we'll do a role play here. I will, you know, be a person there in your household now, or in your client's or your counselee's household, and we see here something about the new life we have in Christ, beginning with verse 17 of chapter 4 in Ephesians. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. This is raising the point. We are Christians. Now as Christians, we can get pretty tangled up with one another, kind of like the unbelievers, right? Okay, but it's a reminder here. We're not unbelievers. What are you doing? Just, you know, think about this. Unbelievers, they're futile. You're in Christ, and then he'll go on to unpack that. They, the unbelievers, are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. It's the opposite. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, here we go, to put off your old self. So we become born again, but we still have this old self that over time in our life to the glory of God, we put it off. That is, we put it to the side and we become a new person step by step. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. So it's not physical, it's a tradition, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self. So put off, put on, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's the goal, is holiness. Now, boy, these are high standards now. But it begins with your ordinary relationship with husband and wife. If it doesn't work there, you know, it's, you know, that's the starting point. You know, this has got to work in my family life. And if it's not working, I need to take time out from other things maybe and make it work in my family life with my spouse, with my kids, with my grandkids, and so on. So, and now you see why we like distance learning too. For some people, it's right to move to Charlotte, do the degree program, and so on. But for a lot of people, it's better to stay where they're at with their jobs and so on and work on their family life and grow in grace. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Now, there is a place for anger. We have emotions, but we ought to not clam up or blow up. Instead, let that anger motivate us to more prayer, more acts of kindness. Okay? So you're reminding one another of this as you sit down at the conference table. And give no opportunity to the devil. Well, do not let the sun go down on your anger. So that's a pretty high bar. Give no opportunity to the devil. So it's a spiritual warfare. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Put off stealing, put on sharing. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Watch this. But only such as is good for building up. There's another version that says, you know, every word should be apt, you know, for your neighbor. That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? You know, for me to think about the very words I'm speaking to you now, or I'm speaking in the dining hall, or, you know, talking with Steve, or I'm at my own home in a couple of days, or, you know, that the words I'm speaking, I need to ask, are they building up my family members or not? You know, that's a check, you know. And again, you're reading this every night of the week for a few weeks at the conference table to get those good habits going. Okay, building one another up with our words, our very words, as fits the occasion. See, it's got to be apt. It's got to be fitting. That it may give grace to those who hear. So that's the blessing you bring as a Christian to anybody you connect with, especially your family members. With the edifying words to them, you're bringing grace into their life with the help of the Holy Spirit. Fantastic. Okay. You're really doing a good work. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed, for the day of redemption. And there's a passage that talks in particular about husbands being angry with their wives. And it's like the heavens become solid. God will not hear your prayers if you're impatient with your wife. Your prayer life is done till you're patient with your wife. It's very clear. Okay. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And that's where it all starts, right? We have a forgiven heart, and so we can forgive others. And it's the example of Christ that we look to when we are entangled with emotional problems with one another, and it helps to straighten us out so that we can love one another. And these are the habits, the put off and put on, that need to start to happen in the recipients of your biblical counseling. It can't happen just in 1 hour in the church office. You know, as good a counselor as Pastor Tipton is, you know, it's going to take a whole lot more than that always. Okay, it's going to take this homework at home. You know, and you will reap great benefits from it. And really, if your relationship is not right at home, that's priority number one. It's just got to be right. No matter how long it takes, pray about it. You know, do acts of kindness. Keep at it. But that's got to be right before you go out and do other things. And the Lord will help you with this. And again, going through this book entitled Strengthening Your Marriage really can help you a lot with the marital relationship. And also it has topics about, you know, raising children, finances, those other topics that we have in marital counseling, intimacy, and so on. So we want to speak the truth in love and keep short accounts. Again, that's why it's important to have that conference table every evening as a habit, you know, and to keep short accounts with one another. So, and more likely than not, I hate to say this, but as you counsel somebody, come in the second week, oh, what nights did you have the conference table? Okay, oh, you wouldn't believe, pastor or counselor or friend, how busy it was last week. Okay, now I'm ready with a comeback for that. Okay, the comeback is the busier it is, the more you need to schedule this in. Because if you have a busy week, you're not talking with your husband or wife. You're busy. And you're maybe falling off to sleep at like midnight, you know, having done a zillion things that day. You know, you're just not having the time and energy to do this. And remember, this is remediating some problems. It's going to take some time and energy. And it may take 2 or 3 weeks to help the persons to adjust their schedule to make this a priority. And you'll find that that's very, very important. Okay. Let's flip over to one more page and talk about one more biblical counseling homework technique, which you're going to like and is very helpful in very difficult situations and with very difficult problems like anxiety. Have you ever heard of panic attacks? That's a very serious thing. You're familiar with depression. You may have heard the phrase bipolar depression, you know, manic one day, depressed the next day, those kind of things. What you need as a biblical counselor is to get, first of all, sort of a reading on that. And this discovering problem patterns is your tool for yourself or for others to just keep. It's a very simple idea, but it's got a couple important features I want to tell you about. So you see it's laid out in a very simple way. This is so that when you have your next appointment next week, same time, same station, you'll come in with this completed and it becomes part of the conversation. Now, how do you complete it? There's a special way to do this. I want you, let's say the problem is anxiety, and I'm counseling with a person right now, and you know, they've had panic attacks, they have anxiety, they're taking Effexor, for instance, and you know, that's a very typical, okay, of, you know, people in our churches today with medication for anti-anxiety, anti-depression, so it's not uncommon. And so what we want to do is, first of all, ask what are the situations in which we see anxiety. Now, and this goes back to kind of a why and what distinction. I really am not going to ask them to describe the panic attack or the anxiety. That's not the most important thing at this time so far. The most important thing is when it happens. Okay, so you're rolling along through your day for whatever reason. Well, that's what we want. Yeah, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, anxious on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we're going to talk about that. You know, what's happening at that time? And it's not so much trying to psychoanalyze somebody's brain or mind or soul. It's really helping them to take a look, getting some objectivity, too, about their life, their lifestyle, their life. And it's with this little exercise that you do that. And the person, you know, the man or woman himself does this. Okay, and that's a good godly thing, too, because they are starting to objectify their problem. Okay, it goes back to the Rodney Dangerfield heaviness and all his depression and so on. He couldn't articulate it. Okay, it's just this general bad feeling. Okay, we know that, right? But when we sit down, oh, there's these three things that are causing me to have the bad feeling. Let me see what those are. Then what do you think the next step would be? Let's go to the Bible and get some thinking about anxiety and worry or about depression and being perplexed and things like that. Okay? So this is something you, as you've had that initial interview and you've unpacked the problems and so on, you know, this is something the person needs to do over the next week. In addition to the conference table, their quiet time, just have this handy. Okay, you've got this handy, and, you know, it's 8 a.m. 2 days of the week, or it didn't happen at all, or every night at 10 p.m., you know, I had this feeling of dread, you know, awful, awful terrors, middle of the night, whenever it was. And then that becomes the content of the counseling the next meeting. And we pray, we listen, we think, we talk it over. And then we go to God's Word. Fear is a common problem that people have related to anxiety. What about fear? Certain proof texts come to mind. Perfect love casts out fear. So I may have somebody track fear. When did you feel fearful this past week? They track it through the week. They bring it in. And, oh, it's at noon, 4 days a week. Okay, well, what's going on here? What are you fearful of? Well, maybe it's colleagues at the workplace that are very critical. So it's become a pattern where I'm fearful. But I do believe that perfect love casts out fear. So I guess I have to start to love my enemies. You know, these people that are unfair to me and so on, I need to love them, right? Jesus said that. Now, that doesn't mean that I have to agree with them. Doesn't even have to mean that I'm best buddies with them, especially if they haven't asked for forgiveness. I do have to forgive them unconditionally, but I may not be reconciled with them, but even so, right now the problem we're talking about, you know, one thing at a time, the problem we're talking about is being fearful. And perfect love casts out fear, right? So that's the pathway out of the forest here to get off away from this fear that is an ungodly fear in my life. So I hope these examples are encouraging to you, first of all, that there is hope for victory over these things. You know, real victory for yourself and for others. And what a blessing to counsel other people. Of course, you're counseling yourself, you know, as you do it. So there's real hope and there's help. There's some technical help here. You've got an interview format. You've got the DPP here. You've got the conference table. And there's, you know, many, many other ideas. But we only have so much time right now to unpack this and encourage this. So I think we better stop at the order of the day here, so I will pray, and we'll go be refreshed with time with our families tonight, and good night's sleep, and see you in the morning for Sunday school and worship, Lord willing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for these reminders and these techniques, all centered around glory to you, and using your church as the center basis, you know, for this work. I do pray for each person here that they will know you better and better personally and through your word and apply these things to overcome evil with good individually in this church and in this community We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.